Good morning, everybody. It's so good to be back. For those of you who don't know, we went away, the family, on a sabbatical. Thank you. I'm going to, this morning, just start off with a joke. You know, you've missed my jokes, right? Then go to just some really sincere thanks. I think this time just has rescued, literally. We've come back with just a sense of what we're called to, where we want to go. Started a few things on the side, and so it's just been an overwhelming time, but I want to officially thank. And then I just have a word that I feel for us for this morning. So without further ado, my joke. A boy breaks an old vase at a rich uncle's house, and the uncle gets extremely angry and yells at him, "Do you even know how old the vase was? It was from the 17th century." The boy sagged in relief. Oh, good that it wasn't new. Why do the French like to eat snails so much? They can't stand fast food. Terrible. We'll try and pick it up. Why did the physics teacher break up with a biology teacher? There was no chemistry. Okay, I better bring the word then. But just some thanks, some sincere thanks. Lisa's not here, but thank you for the release to go and just take time out. We've been leading for 11 years and literally was a breather. Almost no agenda, just go and rest. It was a time to stop the bus, to examine our hearts, to examine our calling. I started a business, a life coaching business, so a good time to do that. As if we have some spare time, but we feel led to do this. And then just amazing quality time with as a family. You know, we've brought a new little boy into our midst, and he is right there in our hearts because we could just take 3 months just to be with him in a focused way. I want to thank the leaders for just standing in the gap and leading this community. I've heard great reports of incredible times of just being in his presence. So I want to thank you, Jacques and Shane. Let's give them a round of applause. I think what I've really enjoyed is just the grace and ease at which they've done it. And you have an anointing to lead, and so we want to release you into that. So thank you for an amazing job well done. You know, at some points, the kids would come home and say, "Dad, you can't believe," and I'm like, no. "Dad, there were angels." "No, that's amazing, but I don't want to hear about it." As amazing as that is, because you just have to go into cocoon and just be where God has called you to be for that time. When we stand here and minister, it's always from a place of we're humbled to be able to bring a word. This is not rah-rah. This is, "God, I want to bring a word that will feed and challenge and stir us into great things this year." And so whenever I get up here, it's not a light moment. It's a before God time. "God, is this what you want for us?" So let's dive in. It's so good to see your faces. We have missed you guys. It is so good to see everyone again. So one of the other things I really wanted to work on during the sabbatical was just my mid-torso. It had started to get out of shape, and there were a few injuries on the horizon, and I've got a marathon in me, I know. And one day on a run, it was probably at Up Corner Cafe. I don't know if any of you know that hill. It's a killer hill. It's like, I wouldn't wish it on anybody. But I know on that day I was walking, because it's a long hill. I just said to Jesus, "What is the theme, or what are the scriptures you have for me to study this year? What are the themes?" And he says, I want you to study adoption." Duh, I've just adopted a little boy. It must be that. I said, "But I don't really know that many stories offhand from the word." And he just said this, and I want to read it out. "Study Jesus, the one who adopted you and all humans who put their faith in him. Study Jesus." And so I felt to start off at Matthew. And I have to say, apology up front, I'm probably sitting in mid-December right now. And he took me to the birth of Jesus. So to start this year, for you, I want to just start with the birth of Jesus, because, wow, that story is packed. Wow. Just try and read it again. We'll read through a whole lot of it. And then I want to bring out three themes that I think are so key for us as we approach 2018, the best year of your life. The best year of your life, 2018. So Seth, if you can put it up there, that'll be great. So I'm going right back to Matthew 1, 18, 2 to 23. Because friends, when Jesus came into the earth, he did one thing. He came as God with us. We'll never be alone again. You'll never be an orphan. You'll never be distant from him. He's come among us to relate completely to us. He went through what we go through. He had the tears. He went to funerals and he went to weddings and he had compassion and he wept and he hungered and he had to withdraw because he had to come and be among his people to show that he could relate. And he continues to relate. And my encouragement to you this morning is whatever you're going through, he can relate. I don't want to run ahead of myself. Let's go through. It's quite a bit of scripture, but it's not a bad thing to just put scripture out there. Those of you who got Bibles, page 1045. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. Okay, I know you've heard this before. If you haven't heard this before, then, you know, if you haven't heard this in Sunday school, whatever, but do me a favor, go home afterwards and go read it again, because there's some incredible keys in the story of Jesus' birth. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them whether Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream, I want to read that again, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he'd be called a Nazarene. What I love about that story was there were people around Jesus who heard God speak. And as a result of them obeying, not just hearing and obeying, they protected Jesus from a certain death. But more than that, they enabled him to fulfill his destiny. And friends, this morning I want to ask, what prophetic words are sitting deep inside you that you possibly need those around you to stand with you, to hear what he's saying, to save you from, sometimes it was weird things that was demanded of them. Go to Egypt. Go to this place. But then the prophecy comes and he will live. He'll come out of Nazareth. How did they didn't know those things. But as they just were led by the Holy Spirit, they came and Jesus fulfilled what was spoken of him. How many of us have got these words that are brewing inside of us? Let's surround ourselves with those who would protect it, who would hear God with us and say, I think the Lord's saying this way. Because I don't know for myself, but as you go this way, you'll walk into what he's actually got. And it doesn't always make sense. That's the first theme. As we hear God's voice and he's leading, sometimes it's not going to make sense. But that's the thing that he calls us to do and follow through on. And sometimes it's great to just surround ourselves with people who'll hold us to that. What are you doing about that? Lisa had a prophetic word about a bread company to launch. We needed people around us who'd come into the office on a Monday and say, what are you doing about that? What are you doing about that? God's spoken this. Are you just going to sit on it? How do you move towards? What is the direction? The second one, go figure. Go figure. A virgin birth. A supernatural virgin birth. No human has ever been born that way that we know of. Well, no one has other than Jesus. But I want to ask this. How is anyone going to believe Joseph in the midst of the supernatural event? Imagine Joseph standing before a judge. Your Honor, I did not sleep with this lady. You're right. But he had to carry that shame. And he had to walk in what God had provided, in the supernatural of what God had provided. And he had to just keep going with what God had spoken to him. How many of us are needing the supernatural touch of God? Friends, he gets born in a supernatural way, and he rises up in a supernatural way. He's the God of the supernatural. That's why in 2018, I can have hope. Because what is impossible for man is so very possible for the God we serve. And so in this great virgin birth, what is the point of it? It's to show that he's a miracle-working God. He can do anything. But there are a couple of other things. And I love what Desiring God says about this virgin birth. Of the billions of humans who have lived throughout history, only one person entered this world in this way. His name, Jesus Christ. There's only one mediator between God and man, and there's only one human who was virgin born. And this virgin birth, like Jesus' resurrection, is blatantly supernatural. It defies all rationalism. Friends, some of the things God speaks to us will defy all rationalism. It won't make sense. Similar to the resurrection. In the virgin birth, God's initiative is on display. God doesn't come to Mary and say, "Mary, hey, do you want to do this?" God says, "Unto you a son will be born, and you will call him." So in a gentle way, he instructs her of what's coming. Why? Because he wanted to save his people from their sins. It was his plan. He couldn't negotiate with man on this one. He had to come and say, "I decree, I'm setting you apart to carry the Christ, to carry the Savior of the world in your loins. Trust me." And some of you, that's exactly what he's saying to you this morning. Trust me with the word that I've put inside of you. Trust me. It doesn't always make sense, but as you step out, you'll see it makes a whole lot of sense when you look back. The virgin birth hints at the fully human and fully divine natures united in Jesus as one person. He was flesh and blood, but he was born of God. He was so flesh and blood that he struggled with the same things that we struggle. Well, he was tempted with the same things we tempted with, yet was without sin. But he needed food and he needed water and he cried and he went to funerals and he wept and he had compassion. All those things that make him completely human, not divorced from the realities of living on planet Earth. Which leads me to the final theme from this story. And they shall call him Emmanuel. God with us. Friends, if you want to ask me what is my hope for 2018, it's that God is with me. Is that God is not just with me, is God is inside me. That God is, this is what Hebrews 4:15 says. I really tried not to walk around this morning in my preaching. But when you talk about Emmanuel, you can't not do that. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet was without sin. You name anything that you're going through right now, Jesus can tick that. Say, "I know what it is to be betrayed, misunderstood, rejected, keep going. Not sure where my next meal's coming from, etc., etc." And that's what makes him amazing. Because he can relate completely and he can speak into my situation like nobody else can. He's God among us. Friends, he has adopted you. You know, Elijah never has to again think, "Oh, where's my next meal going to come from?" He never has to fend for himself. He's part of a family. He's been drawn in. And it's such a beautiful picture. At his dedication, my little boy, at his dedication, he's so cute with these three little teeth. You notice them? And he's walking around. We just love him to bits, just the most beautiful character. But at his dedication, I felt the Lord say that he comes in and enjoys the inheritance as if a son, a blood son. Isn't that beautiful? That's what you are as you've come into to his household. You're part of his inheritance. You have everything. You can participate in his divine nature right now. You can have everything that is him right now. That is the inheritance we have. Drawn in to his family. Puts us into family. On Thursday night, we as a leadership team just worshiped together. And it felt like we were standing on each other's shoulders going into the presence of God. That's what happens when we come together. It's this beautiful thing of we are together under him, in his presence, worshiping him, going for more. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, "Abba, Father, I've come home." Friends, why am I saying this? Because we can be born again believers and feel completely distant from those that God surrounds us with, but from Him. And this morning, I want to break that lie, because it's a lie. Because He's right in our midst. He's in us. He lives inside of us. He's not distant. Does that mean that every problem will just disappear? No, it means that, fear not, I'm with you as you go through whatever you face. Fear not, I'm with you in the midst of your storm. Friends, we serve a God who's not distant. We serve a God who speaks. Joseph had dreams, specific dreams. Okay, it's actually good for you to go here, but don't go here. Herod's son is over here and he'll kill Jesus. Go here. And I want to believe that all of us can have dreams and guidance as we cry out to God and say, God, lead me in this season. Because friends, the danger is we listen too much to the maddening crowd that overwhelms us. What is the popular thought? Even in church circles, what is the popular trend? Friends, Central Parks is never going to be about popular trends. It's going to be about, God, what do you say for us? What do we need to do specifically? What is the dream? What is the specific thing that we can be lay down lovers hearing what you're calling us to do? I'm really just sensing a time of ministry this morning where we can just come back to this truth, realign. You know, holiday times, it's lack at the beach, eh? But sometimes what happens is we just lose that one degree out as we just start following a lie. And we land up starting a year with losing hope. But the hope this morning is realign with the one who knows everything from the beginning to the end. He plotted out, Jesus, if Jesus goes here, he's going to be all right. If he goes there, oh, be careful there. Let me warn. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows it all. He knows what you're going through. He's in your mess. We hate talking about mess from the pulpit. In the chaos. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? The chaos when you're just seeing red. Like everything around you. Okay, look, looks like I'm on my own here. But in the middle of that, when I fluff and I mess up and I shouldn't have done that, he's in the midst of that mess. And I can come back and I can say, God, I don't want to respond like that. Thank you for showing me and highlighting in my family life that I would be different because I want to look more like you. In my mess, he's there. He's not whipping me into place. He's saying, come, my son. I want to show you what it could look like. Have a look at so-and-so, your mate. Have a look how he does it and learn from him. Have a look at me and how I am towards you and catch that heart for your children for whatever you do. He knows what you're going through. He knows the end from the beginning. He was tempted as I am. He speaks to my heart all the time. Friends, that is the best news ever. Is that he's not distant. He doesn't withhold. Grant, I was irritated by how you responded. I'm not going to give you any input. I'm going to just cut you off. It doesn't work like that. He moves towards. Come, my boy, it's okay. Let's stand up again with courage and face these giants. What are you called to? Such a key question for us because we can get just tossed all the time. What are you called to? Stay that road. Stay that road. He gets me. He loves me. He knows my personality. He gets what makes me come alive. He gets what I enjoy. He's not a God who's cookie cut us all. He's made us so different. Our own DNA, colorful expressions of who we are. He's not going to make you like this is what you should sit in your box and just be that. Now come alive with what I've made you to be. Does this make sense? Friends, Moses said this, what's going to distinguish us from all people on the planet? It's the presence. It's knowing that God is on me, with me, in me, stirring me for more of the kingdom. That's what's going to make a difference in this world. That's what's going to distinguish me from all others. His presence on me, his life on me, and living out of me. He wants you to go put him on display as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We had a Christmas, one of our first Christmases in Joburg for a long time. It was so nice. And Lisa felt, I want to do a feast with the family and call the feast together, call the family together, and who's going to do what? And I have a certain family member who makes the most incredible food. It's just like if you get an invite, you go. And we just felt, okay, well, let's give him the fillet to do. And I'm sure he's going to come back with amazing ideas around that. Obviously gluten-free so we can all eat it and let's go for it. And he came back and there was nothing on the meat. No salt, no pepper. It was bland. And friends, we're called to put salt on our fillets and take that to the world and say, taste and see how good the Lord is. Taste the flavors, not bland, amazing fillet. Just yuck. Friends, in summary, the virgin birth shows us how key it is to hear his voice and act, even when it doesn't make sense. I want to encourage you, there's some words that you need to act on. Go back and act on that. His direction is perfect, even when it doesn't make sense. Number two, it highlights the supernatural nature of the God we serve. A virgin birth. Come on, which history books show any man born of a virgin? Go figure. We're part of the impossible. We're part of the supernatural. What was sickness, Jen, I love that story, can be turned into healing. That's our inheritance. That's what we sit on. A God of the impossible. And the third one, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He came to earth for this reason. And because of that, I can face any challenge knowing 100% I'm not alone. Knowing 100% that he's put me in a body to surround me when I don't make sense of what's happening in my life. Anton Rowe, if you can worship a little bit with us. Friends, I feel like there is a response this morning as we start out a fresh year. And it's always between us and God. But I want to just read out some thoughts as I was just prepping for this time. And listen, and if it applies, bury your embarrassment. And just say, God, I want to take the moves. I want to move. I want to take an act of moving out of my chair and just moving into more of what you got for me. Some of you feel forsaken. Some of you are entering this year hopeless. Some of you feel distant from God. Some of you are struggling with your brokenness. You've been tempted and left wanting. Some of you are sitting on a prophetic word that seems light years away from ever happening. Today, I'm feeling that you need to surround yourselves with friends who are going to fight for you in this prophetic word. Some of you came today in a terrible space in your relationship with God. Some of you just need to sit quietly and allow him to talk into your situation. Some of you just need to experience the hug of someone who cares, just a family member who just puts their arms around you. Some of you need to allow him into your mess. Friends, this year, more than anything, I want us to see imperfection, which makes him perfect. You know what I mean? In the midst of my mess, I need him. I need his perfection in my imperfection. Can't play this thing. How will we ever move into all that God's got for us? By hiding behind walls of defense. God, this is who I am. I'm upset and disappointed, but I stand before you knowing that you're the God of breakthrough. Some of you need to unlock the Christ in you for the world to see. You've lost your saltiness. That fillet is just plain. This morning, I want to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for anyone who has never received with evidence of speaking in tongues. Or this morning, you just need some refreshing for a big year coming. Just need refreshing. Can we stand? Can we respond in our hearts? I want to pray over you for the year that is ahead, and we're well into the year. Sorry if you came thinking that this morning was a visioning. I need to catch up. I'm only in the middle of December right now. But Father, we surrender our hearts afresh under your voice. We submit ourselves afresh to what you're calling us into, what you've spoken over us, what you're spurring us into, what you've, without a shadow of doubt, spoken into our hearts. Father, we want to walk this year knowing that you're in our midst. Walk this year knowing that nothing is impossible for you, that no challenge is overwhelming, that we feel deserted or left out. I want to ask with my leaders just standing and making themselves available, if you need prayer in any of those areas, this is the time. Come forward and let's just, in a place of just worship, just make right. Make those little adjustments, make those alignments to say, God, I want to stand under your waterfall of abundance and overflow this year. I want to stand in the truth of a Holy Spirit that isn't little drips, but a Holy Spirit that's beyond measure. A God whose presence is beyond measure. A God who speaks, not withholding.